Send me a postcard, drop me a line, stating point of view. Indicate precisely what you mean to say. You're sincerely wasting away. Give me your answer, fill in a form, mine forevermore. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Robert Weisman, who's the president of Public Citizen, a long-serving Washington consumer advocacy group. He's an expert on economics, healthcare, trade, and globalization, intellectual property, and regulatory policy, and issues related to financial accountability and corporate responsibility. He has worked to lower pharmacy prices for AIDS victims and others in the developing world, and his top priorities include climate change, healthcare reform, financial regulation, and campaign finance reform. Welcome to Background Briefing, Robert Weisman.
Great to be back with you.
And what are the basis of this concern that's being expressed now by a lot of progressives in Washington that the White House is about to sell out on Social Security? What's the firm evidence here?
Well, we really don't know what's being negotiated or being proposed in the negotiations, but there are a lot of reports indicating that the administration is offering a stealth cut to Social Security in exchange for concessions from Republicans.
And this is to re-index Social Security. That's the plan, or at least that's the leak that's involved here and that's
right.
Got people concerned.
If the reports are right, they would change the way the cost of living index is calculated so that the annual inflation adjustment would be less than it currently is. And that seems technical and hard to understand, but people get that their Social Security is rising 3% or whatever it is a year to make up for inflation. If they don't get that, they're actually losing ground. Well, if you reduce the amount of increase, you're going to cost people money. And if you do that year after year after year, which would happen under the proposal, it starts to be a very significant effect on overall benefits over the medium and long term.
So if the White House is heading in this direction, why haven't they listened to what Bernie Sanders and others have been saying for the longest time, which is the simplest way to fix Social Security is to have the wealthy who basically get it for free, in effect. Why don't they pay a little bit more than the average people who really need this money? They need every cent of it, most people who collect Social Security.
Well, it's very hard for me to explain what the psychology or political calculus might be. And hopefully the reports are wrong, or hopefully there's something that they were floating and they're going to get enough pushback and they will drop. It is a really horrible idea that will have the most significant impact on some of the most vulnerable among us, on lower income elderly. What the administration had been saying in the past several weeks is that Social Security will not be part of any deal around the fiscal cliff, that negotiations over Social Security will be handled in their own right. In our view, there is no problem with Social Security financing. Social Security is fully funded for decades. We can deal with problems that might emerge decades later. In the future, we don't need to be either raising revenue now and certainly not cutting benefits now for problems that aren't going to take place for many years in the future. But if you were to make changes, you for sure would do the kind of things that you're talking about, which you would continue to tax well-off people for Social Security after they've made more than $100,000, whatever the cutoff is. You'd make it a more progressive system. You would not do what is being reported as being under consideration, which is to effectively cut benefits through this stealth maneuver.
Again, I'm speaking with Robert Weisman, who is the president of the Public Citizen, a consumer advocacy group in Washington, D.C. And we're talking about rumors that the President Obama, in these negotiations over the so-called fiscal cliff, might be putting Social Security on the table, which is very hard to understand because it actually pays for itself. It's called an entitlement program, but people aren't entitled to it. They are entitled to it because they paid for it. I mean, the low-hanging fruit in terms of a driver in the deficit is the out-of-control health care costs. Maybe there's a reason to address that. There's no reason to address Social Security. And furthermore, you know, there's also that other argument out there, not often expressed often enough, Robert Weissman, which is that the whole idea of the sky is falling over the deficits is in itself, you know, not if not a lie and a gross exaggeration. Why is it that everybody in the world is rushing to buy American debt? And at the same time, these politicians in Washington, particularly on the Republican side, are telling us the sky is falling and we're so deep in debt we can't get out of it. We can't be that much in debt that the rest of the world is rushing to buy our debt.
Yeah, I mean, we do have a political problem, and people should understand the fiscal the so-called fiscal cliff is a problem that would take place by cutting government spending too severely, not by causing too much spending, but by raising taxes too suddenly. So the so-called fiscal cliff is really an acknowledgement of basic Keynesian economics, which is that in a time of ongoing recession, the government should be, in fact, spending a lot more than it's taking in. And the problem with the so-called fiscal cliff is that the government would stop doing that or would do it to a lesser extent if no deal is negotiated. But on the broader issue that you're raising, apart from this immediate political crisis, you're exactly right. The concern about the deficit is entirely concocted by a handful of corporations and rich individuals who have invented a problem that does not exist, and therefore, along the way, are proposing solutions that would make this country more unequal, less just, and actually, along the way, would damage the economy. So, not just the spreading of wealth, but actually reduce our overall wealth.
But the consequences of cutting Social Security, which, as I pointed out earlier, Robert Weissman, people who depend upon it have very few means. And what the great contribution Social Security has been to our society is that had it not existed, the elderly in this country would have been wards of the state or wards of their own children, which in turn would have bankrupted most wage earners in their middle age, if not in their youth. So its value goes beyond just taking care of the elderly. And if you take those meager gains away, you're going to impoverish a lot more people in this country, and that's really what it comes down to. Why do these social engineers on the right want to impoverish more of their fellow Americans?
Well, it's hard to say, but you know, in some ways, the more immediate question is why is this being given serious consideration by the Obama administration? You are absolutely right. Cutting Social Security is both cruel and stupid. It's cruel because Social Security is our most important anti-poverty program, extraordinarily successful in reducing the rate of serious poverty among the nation's elderly. Not like they're doing great because the benefits are really quite modest, but enough to take people out of poverty and to reverse the situation that we had prior to Social Security, which is widespread misery and impoverishment among the elderly, you know, one of the most vulnerable sections of society. And it's stupid because it's completely unnecessary as a financial matter. And even if we actually faced a Social Security financial crisis, which we do not, wouldn't we just say to ourselves, gosh, we're the richest country on the earth, we could spend a little bit more to take care of vulnerable elderly people. We certainly should say that. It's also extra stupid that such a proposal would be given consideration by the Obama administration because it is, among many other things, politically a horrible idea. Social Security is extremely popular, not just among Democrats, but among Republicans. It's not just for old people because every one of us is eventually going to be old and draw on Social Security. It is popular across all swaths of society, and it is just politically crazy to talk about cutting it. And, you know, and again, layered so when there is absolutely no need to do it.
Well, the other possibility, and again, we are talking about speculation from leaks involved coming out of these negotiations between the White House and the Republicans, in particular with between Obama and John Boehner, that the president may well cave on Social Security and allow Social Security to be recalibrated in terms of the cost of living adjustments, which would cost people, I think, 3% a year. But that, you know, over a decade, that starts to count. The other thing that supposedly the rumors are swirling around that the Obama administration may agree not to extend the payroll tax breaks that are scheduled to expire at year's end. What do you know about that, Robert Weissman?
Well, again, everything is rumor right now, and that will also be harmful. Now, that's a tricky issue because the payroll tax breaks are not regular income tax payments. They're payments that are really due to Social Security. And the more and the longer we play the trick of not putting in money that's due Social Security and say, look, the government owes Social Security, the more we're making ourselves vulnerable to the inevitable argument that Social Security is underfunded and no one really ever expected the government was going to pay the debts that it owes to the independent, separate Social Security Trust Fund. So the idea of this payroll tax cut is not a good long-term solution. But it is the case that if we eliminate it now, it's going to have a further recessionary impact on the economy. You know, again, I think the whole context of this is as you say, this need for new revenue is both imaginary and counterproductive in a time of great recession. But if you are looking for a lot of money, and for sure there are a lot of things the government ought, you know, the government should be raising more money to be doing many of the things that it's not doing that need to be done. There are a lot of places to look without stealing from the poor or the would-be poor. And, you know, one thing that we're highlighting is the possibility of imposing a financial speculation tax on Wall Street. If you did a very, very modest speculation tax, you can raise $350 billion over a 10-year period, according to conservative estimates. If you do a more aggressive tax, you can start getting the money up into the trillions. So there's just a lot of money to be had from Wall Street, which, of course, is the source of the Great Recession that we're now suffering from. So if you actually wanted to both raise money and take it from those most able to pay and those who plunged us into the current economic problems we're in, it's totally doable. You could impose a financial speculation tax.
I guess, in a way, Robert Weissman, what makes a lot of people nervous and certainly makes me nervous is that the White House press spokesman, Jay Carney, said in reference to questions about where the fiscal cliff deal stands now, says we're not going to get everything we want. Why not? I mean, you know, if he lets this mythical cliff happen and the ship of state goes over the so-called fiscal cliff, the automatic cuts that would take place are not the end of the world. It may well be the only way you'll ever cut the defense budgets. So I don't understand the need to concede when you hold all the cards.
Well, this has been an administration that's, you know, is very smart, but has been a very weak negotiator over the course of its first term. And I think people were pleased in the first couple weeks after the election with the unusual display of spine and negotiating savvy that was being displayed. And it may be that was just a mild couple-week interlude before it's back to the way things were, which, again, is exactly as you say, involves concessions, apparently, by a president who holds enormous leverage right now to House Republicans who do not. Concessions that will, you know, hit the most vulnerable among us, are politically foolish at best, and are going to have the impact of weakening an already very weak economy.
But I don't understand.
It's hard to get your head around it.
I know. And just in closing, though, I mean, I don't understand why you would want to reward the Republicans for finally conceding on the fact that the tax cuts for the rich have to expire, that they've had it too good for too long, and it's just not right. And so why reward them for coming to their senses, if indeed that's likely? This seems like a trade-off. To get them to come to their senses and not to and effectively get them off the hook, because politically they're getting more and more isolated and looking like whores for billionaires. So, I don't understand why you'd want to take this payroll tax hike or allow it to go back up again, which will, according to J.P. Morgan, which is one of the Wall Street people that that we're not too fond of, they're saying that the reduction in the payroll tax, removing the payroll tax cuts, will reduce U.S. disposable income by $125 billion. So you're taking money out of the pockets of the poor and the middle class just to satisfy the fact and to reward the Republicans for finally coming to their senses and not, you know, going to the mat for the billionaires.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point what we have to hope for and work to make so is that these rumors are wrong, and that although these ideas are being floated, they don't really reflect where the administration is going to turn out and the concessions, if any, that they're ultimately going to make. But these stories aren't coming from nowhere, and there's this broader context, which gets back to what you were highlighting earlier, which is it appears that the president has basically bought into the idea that the biggest or one of the greatest challenges facing this country is the need to reduce the fiscal debt and the fiscal deficit. And if that's so, if he's actually believes that, then these kind of moves make some sense, and they foretell more dangerous and harmful moves that are likely to be coming in the next 2 years.
Well, thank you very much for joining us here today, Robert Weissman.
Great to be with you.
Again, I've been speaking with Robert Weissman, who's president of Public Citizen, a long-time consumer advocacy group in Washington, D.C. He's an expert on economics, healthcare, trade, and globalization, intellectual property and regulatory policy, and issues related to financial accountability and corporate responsibility. And he's worked to lower pharmacy prices for AIDS victims and others in the developing world. And his top priorities include climate change, healthcare reform, financial regulation, and campaign finance reform. We're going to take a brief station break and back talking about hearings about to start in the United States Senate on the Congo, where 5 million people have died in a resource war.
It's a standard procedure. I forgot to mention that grandma's pension will ease the rental tension. A little birdie told me you've been siphoning.